The views and opinions expressed by the hosts and guests of Reality Realty are not necessarily the views or opinions of Northumberland 89.7 FM. The information given is designed to be informative and helpful. You should always consult a professional when buying or selling your home. Hello, Northumberland County, and welcome to Reality Realty, Northumberland 89.7 FM's real estate talk show, where we take on, talk about, and interview guests on all things real estate with a direct focus on Northumberland County and all the communities within it. I'm Dave Smith, and I'm certified home inspector, and my co-host is Dale Bryant, real estate broker.
Good morning, Dave.
How are you?
I'm doing fantastic for an old guy.
Well, I couldn't speak to that, but I'm finding it's a lot busier in the real estate market for my business in 2015 over 2014. How about you? Are you finding a little bit better?
Oh, absolutely. A big difference from this year to last year, and I think the weather has a whole lot to do with it. People are willing to get out, and well, the weather up until about 2-3 days ago.
I was wading through about 2 feet of snow yesterday doing an inspection in a house. I was probably outside 2 or 3 times as long as I usually am. So it is busier for me, but that snow is a challenge.
Yeah.
Do you think gas prices could have an effect, do you think? Is that possible from a GTA perspective? Do you think people are thinking a little farther out than they regularly would, or not yet?
I think maybe gas prices, when you think of why the gas prices are so low, and how that very same thing is affecting our interest rates, then
maybe
possibly, but I think the weather
more of a long
term. Yeah, I think the weather is a bigger issue.
Well, on today's show, we have a special guest. We have Maureen Wood, and Maureen Wood is a certified radon measurement technician and mitigation specialist with Mr. Radon. She's going to talk to us about radon testing as it pertains to the real estate transaction, and what else are we going to cover, Dale?
Dave, as always, we're going to cover our home inspection tip of the week. We also have a segment snapshot, which is a snapshot of today's real estate market here in Northumberland County, and points to ponder.
Ah, so I'm going to start off with the home inspection tip of the week, and the tip of the week is using an IR camera, an infrared camera, during a home inspection. Mm. And why would you want that? Well, an infrared camera can reveal hidden issues with hidden issues that a visual inspection or even a moisture meter might not, such as past leakage around tubs, showers, hose bibs, mm-hmm. Skylights, appliances, thinking specifically of dishwashers, fridge, ice makers, etc. And you'd be surprised at how often those things come up. Certainly hose bibs, when they get frozen, the type of winters we've had the last mm-hmm. couple of years. They'll also reveal overheating electrical circuits and breakers that are under load in and around a panel. In the second floor, you can detect leakage in through the ceiling, missing insulation and cold spots, rodent damaged insulation. I've seen raccoons actually remove almost, 8 or 10 square feet of insulation in an attic as they nest, and squirrels will do the same thing.
Really, really neat feature of that infrared mm-hmm. to find out if you've had pests, if you've had rodents in the house.
And the damage they can do. So it gets you to the solution and the problem. So I've touched on just a few of the advantages. There's many more. What an IR camera does not do, though, it does not see through clothes and walls. That's the x-ray glasses that you used to see in the back of comic books, Dale. It does not do that. It does not shoot out microwaves. It does not shoot out x-rays. As a matter of fact, an infrared camera is a receiver. It is not a point and shoot. So it is completely safe to use. So that's my home inspection tip of the week.
So you're not really... You don't really have superpowers.
You don't have it really measures temperature and difference in temperatures. Doesn't have superpowers. Sorry, Dale. I'll see if I can come up with something next week.
But if you're buying a home, that's like having superpowers.
It is like superpowers.
Absolutely. Well, Dave, snapshot. Let's take a look at a snapshot of today's residential real estate market in Northumberland County. And we've had 51 listings that have sold over the past month. And presently, we have 314 residential listings here in Northumberland County for sale. When we look over the past year, the past 12 months, these homes that have sold for approximately, on average, $297,000. And they were asking, on average, they were asking $297,000 and they sold for $287,000. So people over the past year in Northumberland County have been receiving approximately 96.6% of their asking price in a market time of 85 days. The other thing I like to figure out, Dave, once I get these stats, is find out if we're in a buyer's market, seller's market, or a balanced market. And today we're sitting at an absorption rate of 16.24%, and traditionally it is considered a balanced market. These statistics and the information required to calculate the absorption rates come to us from the Northumberland Hills Association of Realtors. If we take a look at the mortgage rates today, the best five-year fixed is the same as last week. Last week, the rates went down slightly, and we are at 2.54% for a five-year fixed. And the best variable rate mortgage is presently at 1.95. So that's prime being 2.85 minus the discount, 0.9, gives us 1.95 for a variable prime. A variable rate mortgage, rather. And that comes to us from the Mortgage Wellness Group here in Northumberland County.
Reality Realty's Points to Ponder is the next section we're going to do for you here today. And this comes thanks to an article in Northumberland News by Karen Longwell. This is pertaining to the origins of Port Hope. We all know Port Hope is rich with history, but ponder this, Dale. Mm. At a recent presentation of Port Hope High School students, local, that's my old alma mater, by the way. Is that the way you say it?
Port Hope High School?
Yes, yes.
They must be very proud.
They are very proud. Local historian Catherine Tozer told the students that, of course, it's commonly known that the community was founded in 1789, but she stated that the region's history actually dates back thousands of years before the arrival of Loyalist settlers, and the archaeological discoveries suggest people have lived in the area for more than 9,000 years. And when the Loyalists did land in Port Hope, it was then called, of course, Hope Township. In 1793, there was a community of approximately 300 Anishinaabe, sorry if I've not pronounced that properly, but First Nations people living in wigwams near the lake. There was also a log cabin located near where Town Hall is today, and they're right in the park there. That trading post is being operated by a man named Lawrence Herkimer, who lived in the cabin when the settlers arrived. The Loyalists pitched tents in the area where the Ruth Clark Senior Activity Center is today, right beside the town park, of course. And Dale, just think of the equity that Mr. Herkimer would have built if he had just held on for another couple centuries.
Yeah, well, you know what, Dave? When I realized you were doing this history and I saw Mr. Herkimer there, I looked up Herkimers to see if there were any Herkimers here in Northumberland County still. But they're all gone.
They're all gone.
They went somewhere else.
They made a killing and they moved out.
Yeah. They didn't realize what this would become, I guess.
I guess not. Sitting there in the middle of the park. Think of that. Think of the opportunity. This is Northumberland 89.7, truly local radio. Join Dale and myself after the short break, and we'll be talking with Maureen Wood, a certified radon measurement technician and mitigation specialist with Mr. Radon. Come on back.
Stimulate your heart, mind, and palate this Valentine's Day with the second annual Imaginate, an evening of possibility at Trinity College School, Port Hope. This TED-style event will feature presentations by nationally renowned speakers and artists of all stripes. Reception hosted by the Social Bar and Table following. Check out the lineup and purchase your tickets today at greenwoodcoalition.com. Imaginate 2015. All you need is love and, well, you fill in the blank.
This ad is proudly sponsored by Cameco. The three most visited sites on the web are Google, Facebook, and YouTube. For a business to thrive in such times, they have to make use of as many of these channels as possible. Is your business marketing through these platforms? Matthews Media is now offering a selection of social media marketing packages available for any size of business. We set up, customize, and push your content across all relevant online profiles, driving prospective clients toward your business. To find out more about online and social media marketing, visit our website at matthewsmedia.ca or call 905-375-9520.
Welcome back. This is Dale Bryant and Dave Smith on Reality Realty, Northumberland 89.7 FM's local real estate talk. Our guest today is Maureen Wood. Maureen owned Town and Country Home Inspections for 8 years, and after offering radon testing as part of her services, Maureen realized that there was a need for qualified professionals to repair the elevated radon problems discovered during these tests. In 2008, Maureen and her husband Bob incorporated Mr. Radon to provide testing and mitigation services in southern Ontario. Since then, Mr. Radon has become an approved provider of a radon measurement exam prep course. Maureen is a Canadian National Radon Proficiency Program Certified Radon Measurement Technician Mitigation Specialist and has founded and is a founding member of CARST, and CARST being the Canadian Association of Radon Scientists and Technologists. Being instigative in its formation and the realization of the CNRPP, the Canadian regulatory body. Wow, what
that was a mouthful.
What a mouthful to get through there.
Sorry.
Yeah, well,
so I tagged you for that one.
Maureen, welcome, and thanks for all those credentials.
That is the show. I think we're done
dear.
Now.
Yeah, welcome to our show, Maureen.
Thank you so much. I appreciate the opportunity.
Well, mm-hmm. we're really happy to have you here, and thanks for coming through the snow today to visit with us. So, Maureen, we're hearing more and more about radon being a problem in our homes. What exactly is radon?
Radon is a radioactive gas. It's caused by the natural breakdown of uranium. Uranium, as the gas dissipates in the natural environment, it's not an issue because the levels are so low. But when it dissipates into a living area, it's enclosed, and the levels can actually become quite high and become a health risk. Hmm.
Maureen, how exactly does radon affect us and our health?
Well, radon, as it decays and becomes its progeny or daughters, it lets off alpha particles. And as we know, alpha particles or alpha radiation, when it hits your skin, it's not a problem because you have layers of dead skin and it just kind of bounces off. It's mm-hmm. not strong enough to go through your skin. But as you breathe it in, it attaches to your fresh tissues in your lungs and right. it becomes a problem there.
Okay. So am I exposed to radon then?
Absolutely. Everybody is exposed to radon.
Oh, okay. So,
Maureen, radon, it's measured in becquerels.
That's correct.
And can you explain what that measurement would look like or how that measurement's taken?
Well, basically it is a calculation of disintegrations per second. So one becquerel is one disintegration per second. As uranium breaks down, it breaks down to many, many different atoms and particles and gases. And it is the calculation actually from radon to its daughters. And because the daughters are the ones that, as it happens, it lets off alpha particles. And when it lets off alpha particles, you can count them because they eject a strike or electron, and you can actually count the amount of energy that's produced by the disintegration.
And those electrons that mm-hmm. are leaving, you're saying those are called daughters?
No, the electrons itself is part of the alpha particle. And that's the part that's damaging.
And this is the danger to
that's the danger
humans, or really to living. Is it living things? Like
anything?
Animals?
Yes.
You know,
yep.
I would imagine
they haven't done tests on animals, but yes.
And can I just ask the health risks? You mentioned about the health risks. What does that lead to if you get too much radon?
Well, radon causes lung cancer. So as the alpha particle attaches to your lung tissue, it can damage the skin and the DNA. And as that happens, lung cancer can develop. And it's a serious problem. And it's the issue is you can live in a house with low levels for a long period of time, or you can live in a house with high levels for a short period of time, and you have the same amount of exposure. Mm. So Health Canada says that radon is the second cause of lung cancer in Canada. Mm. And of the lung cancer deaths in Canada, they attribute 16% to the exposure to radon.
So wow. The reason, just to clarify, just to backtrack a little bit and just to make it clear. So radon, as far as my epidermis or my skin, is not as big a concern.
Correct.
But because it could enter into my soft tissue through my lungs or through breathing or just accepting it in, and that's where the danger is, because they can attack an unprotected soft
Absolutely.
Tissue like lungs.
Absolutely.
Okay. Okay. So I'm aware as a home inspector and going to conferences and seminars, et cetera, that there is going to be an increased awareness of radon testing.
Yes.
In not just, I mean, this is a real estate show, so we are talking about real estate, but mm-hmm. in general, there is an increased awareness, and Health Canada is going to be waving that flag and reaching
They have
out,
been for a while now,
have been
yes.
for a while, and, mm-hmm. it's going to get even greater, I understand. Why did Health Canada announce in June of 2007 a lowering of the guidelines for acceptable levels of radon in the house from 800 to now 200 becquerels per cubic meter?
Well, I can't speak for Health Canada, but primarily there's been so many scientific studies that have proven without a doubt that radon exposure is a number one carcinogen. It causes lung cancer. There's no doubt about it. And I think that, you know, that along with pressure from the other countries and pressure maybe from the World Health Organization, they have along with the federal, provincial, and territorial radon associations and committees, they have decided to lower the level for all of Canada.
So that's a pretty dramatic. That's a pretty
Very
dramatic.
Much so.
That's a 75% reduction from
yes.
what was considered. And I'm going to use the phrase that I've been told, action levels.
Yes.
From 800 to 200.
Correct.
We never want to use the phrase safe levels because
no.
Say there is no safe level.
There are no safe levels
of radon, but there always is levels of radon.
Absolutely. Right. There's radon when you're outside and there's radon when you're inside. And usually when it's inside, it's higher.
And as I understand it, too, you're walking in a park, you're you know, out in the forest, there's going to be radon. But because there's nothing containing it within a structure, there's no containment.
That's
and
correct.
That's what it dissipates naturally in the air.
Absolutely. Yes.
Okay. So when we talk about radon or increased awareness of radon, or even maybe take it one step further and say the increased understanding or threat of radon, it isn't that there is more radon. It's a case of where we have lowered the levels of the action levels. So it's not more radon. It isn't an increased issue. It's the fact that the bodies concerned have ascertained through their research that the levels should be lowered in
yes,
Canada.
Yes, that they should make the public aware that radon is an issue in Canada. And if you think of the levels of Health Canada saying 16% of all lung cancer deaths are caused by radon, they're basing that statistic on an action level of 200 becquerels. If we look at the other recommended levels from different places like the U.S. or the World Health Organization, if we went with the World Health Organization's recommendation, that number would double.
Double being it would be 400 becquerels would be allowed?
No, that would double the amount of deaths and double the amount of lung cancer in Canada.
So, Maureen, what are the standards for the U.S. or World Health Organization in Europe?
So in Europe, the majority of the European countries go from 200 becquerels to 400 becquerels. Okay. And at some of the countries, it depends on whether it's a new home or a retrofit. It shouldn't really matter, but that's the way they do their levels. In the United States, they use a different nomenclature, but it's the equivalent of about 150 becquerels. So in Canada, we say that we should do something if it's 200. In the U.S., they say you should do something at 100. And the World
100
Health,
or 150?
Or, sorry, yeah, you're correct, 150.
150.
Yeah, okay. And the World Health Organization recommends that you try to get below 100.
Below 100?
Below 100.
Okay, so us lowering the levels from 8 to 2, which is in fact raising the standard of safety,
Correct.
We're still far off
the World Health Organization
of the world standards and the U.S. standards.
Yes, that's correct.
Now, and
so it's a much worse problem than we actually are aware of at this point in time.
And because there's so much data, we're not going to speak too much to why the difference between what's considered the action level for Canada versus the U.S. or the World Health Organization. But we will give you references. We will give the listeners references to that data because it's a long answer of why Canada has chosen the 200 level and I think maybe just too big for this particular show. But there is some great resources that we will refer to before the end of the show so our listeners can do a little bit more detail on that.
And Maureen, how long has the U.S. been down? Do you happen to know how long the U.S. has been down to 150 becquerels standard? Or
no, I'm sorry, I don't.
So I wonder if they're as recent that they've made their changes as Canada's made.
No, it was before.
Oh, so they've been
down
for
some
time.
When we were at 800, they were at 150.
And from the industry, from the real estate end, and maybe more specifically the home inspection industry, I know because my particular franchise although it's a Canadian company, has most of their franchisees about a 3 or 4 to 1 ratio in the U.S. And it's a population-based thing.
Sure.
In speaking with U.S. Inspectors, it's about 60 to 70% of home inspections in the U.S. automatically include radon.
Oh, absolutely.
Testing.
Because in the States, the majority of the states require the seller to advise the buyer of their radon levels.
So and this is the first step. And having you on the show today is an effort by us as hosts to raise awareness as well, to make make people understand. And that's what will eventually come of all things is awareness.
Yes.
Learning and getting the message out. Again, I want to reiterate, it's not about there's an increase in radon. It's about the change.
It's always been there.
Levels.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
Okay. So, and that's what it's about. But awareness, again, in the U.S., it has raised awareness of radon, and it becomes
absolutely
the norm. It becomes part of.
Yes.
Because I will tell you, in my personal experience, in the last couple of years of doing home inspections, radon is not very common. As a matter of fact, I've only done myself 2 radon tests out of the last 170 odd inspections. So
that's unfortunate. That really is unfortunate.
Yeah. So just for clarification, that's not the existence of radon, but that's the
actual test.
Lack of understanding.
People wanting that
right.
test. Yeah.
And this is, I will reiterate too, there are 2 types of tests. That is a short-term test. That I am doing.
And the majority of the testing in the States is short-term. Health Canada, on the other hand, does not recommend short-term testing. And that's why I think we're a little bit behind in the recognition of what radon is in Canada, because at this point in time, it won't really become part of a purchasing decision.
Because of the time frame.
Absolutely.
A short-term test, just to clarify, short-term test is 48 to 72 hours.
Correct.
Which would fit in with the time frame of a common real estate transaction.
Sure.
Whereas a long-term test could be...
Basically, it's usually 90-plus days.
90-plus days, which obviously wouldn't fit in. And the short-term test, quite often in my practicing of it, is a short-term test will give those levels, give a rating on those levels, and then if they do exceed the action levels, then the next recommendation is to get a long-term test and to get a mitigation.
That is correct. I think the problem with getting a short-term test as part of a real estate deal is that the seller has to agree to close their house for the 48 hours and the 12 hours before the test to get their house in what we call an equilibrium situation. So they have to promise to keep the windows closed and not to run their clothes dryer, which sends air outside, their bathroom fans, or their stovetop fan if it exhausts to the outside. So that's a bit of a burden to put on a seller when they're trying to still sell their house. So that is the biggest stumble we have with short-term testing and real estate transactions.
Well, that's where a pre-inspection likely comes into play, thinking ahead.
Absolutely.
Well, thank you, Maureen. We're going to come on back. We're going to take a break right now. This is Reality Realty on Northumberland 89.7, truly local radio. Join Dale and me after this short break. And we're going to continue to talk to Maureen Wood about radon and the importance of testing the home as part of the purchase.
Questions, comments, or requests? Hit us up on Facebook at facebook.com/Northumberland89.7.
For over 25 years, Pritchard's Climate Care has been your personal climate expert in the Northumberland area. Pritchard's offers complete heating and air conditioning service and repair for your home or business. We make sure the air you breathe is healthy and comfortable. Pritchard's Climate Care has become one of Southern Ontario's most trusted installers of heating and air conditioning products. Sign up for our We Care maintenance plans and get your furnace service for half off our regular service price. Pritchard's Climate Care, we're not just your climate experts, we're your neighbors. Call us at 905-885-8216 or toll free at 1-877-791-6975.
Welcome back. This is Dale Bryant and Dave Smith on Reality Realty, Northumberland 89.7 FM's local real estate talk. We're picking up from where we left off last segment with Maureen Wood, a certified radon measurement technician and mitigation specialist with Mr. Radon.
So, Maureen, say I'm a smoker.
Yes.
Does radon affect me more than
a non-smoker? Oh, absolutely. You can imagine your lungs are already in a bad situation. But, yeah, tests have proven that you're substantially more at risk. If I can possibly read something that Health Canada has written about that problem, is that if you're a lifelong smoker but not exposed to radon, your risk of getting lung cancer is 1 in 10. If you add exposure at a high level of radon, your risk becomes 1 in 3. On the other hand, if you're a non-smoker, your lifetime lung cancer risk at the same high level is only 1 in 20. So it's like 1 in 3. If you're a smoker and you're in a high-level situation, you're at serious risk.
Well, at the risk of bringing on the wrath of smokers, this is, to me, almost a textbook example of awareness.
Oh, my goodness, yes.
Smoking awareness, or the awareness of the threats of smoking, which I'm not going to go into any depth. We're all very aware of that. But there's a classic example of raising awareness, much like we're talking about with radon. There is not as much awareness of it, not as much awareness of the threat of it, and certainly within the real estate transaction, et cetera, et cetera. But look what awareness can do. In my generation now, smokers, I think, I have no numbers in front of me, but I have to believe it's dramatically different than for my parents' generation.
Oh, absolutely, yes.
I was very fortunate that We raised our three kids. I didn't smoke. My wife didn't smoke. Both their grandparents didn't smoke at all. And my kids were never really exposed to smoking. As a matter of fact, it was very foreign. We would say we'd go somewhere for Christmas or even just a house party, this sort of thing where they're exposed to smoke. They would come home and the next day everybody would be commenting on how their clothes smelled.
Yes.
How their eyes burned and they couldn't because they were never exposed to it. So when it comes to raising radon awareness, unfortunately, hopefully it's not going to take as long for us to get awareness of smoking. But that's a classic example of where you can take something that was commonplace and accepted in day-to-day life.
Yes.
And now it's come to the point where the awareness is pretty universal.
That reminds me of the comparison with carbon monoxide exposure.
Yes.
We are required by law to have carbon monoxide alarms in our homes. There are less deaths in Canada from carbon monoxide poisoning than there are from radon exposure.
Oh, wow.
Why don't we have mandatory radon alarms in our homes?
Well, that happened actually on January the 1st. It became law from a home inspection perspective, January 1st of 2015.
Okay.
So I know that because I have to make that part of my comments in every inspection. I actually recommend in my inspection, I recommend that carbon monoxide detectors and smoke detectors be replaced as soon as the client moves in, just so they are absolutely assured. They know, everyone remembers when they bought their house. Everybody remembers what year they bought their house. So therefore, they know inherently that their smoke detectors and their carbon monoxide detectors, how old they are. They know they're the age of the home. And they are widely available now. Their price has dropped dramatically in carbon monoxide detectors. But I hear what you're saying.
Yes.
Why the one and not the other?
Absolutely. It's lack of awareness.
Lack of awareness, education.
Do these detectors even exist? Can you go to your local hardware store and pick up a plug-in or wire-in radon detector?
Well, that's a good question. At this point in time, in the market, there's only one. It's what we sell as a radon alarm. And unfortunately, it's not approved by the Canadian National Radon Proficiency Program at this point in time. It is going through the process of getting approval because there's no way to actually do a quality control check on it. So until that happens, we still sell them. We sell them every time we put a mitigation system in a home. So if they don't happen to hear the motor running or see the manometer working, if for some reason something happens and the radon increases to 200 becquerels, it will go off. So it's a very popular device.
So is the challenge this closed home? Laboratory is the way I'm going to describe it.
But absolutely.
That is the challenge. Whereas, in fairness to carbon monoxide detectors and smoke detectors, they don't require that sort of testing or that sort of environment, I guess. Or environmental controls, maybe.
Yes.
Okay.
So, marine smokers, they're more susceptible to being affected by the radon than non-smokers. What about children?
Well, there's no statistics or no real research that I know of that proves that children are at a higher risk. But I can tell you a little story from our experience that when our mitigators are out at a job, they will quite often use something called a grab sampler, which is a very sophisticated machinery that will just take a sample of air at a particular spot and give you an actual reading at that point in time. So the house was reading at 800 becquerels, and they did a grab sample right near the floor where they were going to drill through the floor, and it was at 10,000 becquerels. And of course, we usually do this in front of the client, so they're aware of really what they're dealing with. And thank goodness they have a concrete slab. But they immediately picked up their children off the floor. They were playing on the floor. You know, children, they're much smaller. They're down on the floor playing all the time in the basement. And so personally, you know, every home should be testing for radon.
Right.
Absolutely.
So we've talked about it, but how does radon get into my house? Like, how does it get into the house?
It gets in from the pressure differential between outside the house and inside the house. If you think of your house as being like a Tim Hortons cup and you're putting it into a bowl of water, the water is trying to get into the cup. The minute you put a pinprick in the cup, the water is going to rush in. So there's a difference in pressure between the soil and inside the house. And the minute you have any pathways for that water to get in or that gas to get in, that's how it comes in. So it's constantly being sucked into your home.
Through the ground.
Absolutely,
through the
yes.
ground. Now, what about I've heard of possibly granite countertops or different finishes in a home mm-hmm. being suspect
right.
to emitting radon. Is this true?
Well, there was a couple of years ago, a couple of articles in the, actually, I think it was the New York Times, and it caused a really big stir, and it caused a big stir for our business as well. Lots of people calling saying, I'm going to buy a countertop. Will you come with me? It doesn't work like that. You have to do a specialized test. And of all the tests that we've done of granite countertops, maybe 2% have showed up as having any emission whatsoever. And it hasn't been sufficient enough to actually do anything about it. Mm. The majority of your radon emissions are going to come from the soil around or underneath your home. And Health Canada's done many, many studies. They've done one, I think, of 33 common granite countertops in Canada, and they've found the same results.
Okay. Well, and I've heard this in regards to fieldstone fireplaces.
Oh,
and this
absolutely.
Sort of thing. I mean, these things, it isn't just
absolutely.
That is something that I hear fairly commonly.
Yes, and stone foundations. So when we're doing measurements in homes, we always ask them, what do they have? Because we mm-hmm. don't recommend you putting a test kit right on the stone mantelpiece, but in the same area, yes, definitely.
So I'm a homeowner. I'm mm-hmm. concerned. I've listened to the show,
right.
as millions of people will be right now. how do I test my house for radon?
Well, there's many, many different ways. You can call your home inspector. Right?
Absolutely. I like you, Maureen. We're going to have you back.
Okay, you can call your home inspector. And, of course, your realtor knows all about it as well.
And not all home inspectors do provide radon.
Absolutely. Absolutely, they don't. But you can either get something online, look up radon kits for sale. Mm-hmm. Of course, you can call my company, Mr. Radon. And the other thing, they do have a kit or a couple of different kits available in certain stores. I think it's Lowe's, Home Depot, and I'm not exactly sure
yep.
what else.
I
but
know they
those
do.
Are the
yep.
two biggest ones. They sell something that I believe most of them are liquid scintillation tubes. And we don't actually sell those because we sell something that's a little bit more scientific than that. And it's very easy. You can either buy the short term, which is basically the 48 hours, or the long term, which we're dealing with 90 plus days. You could buy one for a year, but I don't know who is willing to wait a year to find out if they're exposed to high levels of radon.
No. So, Maureen, if I do one of these tests, I either bring someone in like Dave, home inspector, to do the test, or I get a kit.
Or you get a certified
or
technician.
Or I get Mr. Radon to come in
right.
and a certified technician
yep.
in this. Now, I find out I have levels that are high.
Mm-hmm.
How do we get rid of those levels?
Well, it's actually fairly simple, but it's not easy, if that makes any sense. So the first thing we need to do is we're going to drill a hole about 4 inches wide through the basement slab.
Mm-hmm.
We are then going to draw a couple of small holes about the size of a pencil in opposite corners of the basement. We're going to do a pressure test between the small holes and the large holes to ensure that if we use the large hole as the point of extraction, that it will reach all the corners of your basement. So we want to make sure if we do it here, are we going to collect the gases from the whole footprint of the building?
Right. You're measuring how much air will draw
Absolutely.
From those pencil-sized holes.
Yes. That will okay. also tell us what kind of earth we're dealing with, whether it's clay, sand, or lots of gravel, mm-hmm. and that will tell us what kind of fan we need to install, one that handles high volume or low volume. We need a very powerful fan to pull through clay. So right. these are all things that we do. Then we attach it. We take out about a bucket and a half worth of gravel underneath the hole, mm-hmm. so it has a place for the gas to collect. Put a pipe in it, attach a specialized radon extraction fan, and we usually vent it out the side wall, usually where you have your air conditioner and other vents that go out.
Right. Yeah. Right.
So. And everything's sealed up. I realize there's lots of variables, but
absolutely.
Can you give me some numbers here? How much would cost to do the mitigation in a house?
Well, that example I just gave you, where we call it an up and out. So it's straight up and straight out, rather than going up through the house, through the attic,
right.
et cetera, or going outside and up above the roof line. We charge $2,500 for that. And it does vary, not for the amount of radon you have, because we use the same system for low levels that we do for high levels. But it's if you have a sump pit, we have to completely seal it. You have to put a submersible pump in, and then we completely seal it. If you have cracks around the foundation, quite often builders at some point in time, they left a gap in between the wall and the slab. We would find when we do the connectivity test that there's actually air being drawn down through that. So all those things have to be sealed. A crawl space will dramatically increase the price of your mitigation, especially if the crawl space is dirt or gravel and has never been attached. And if it's a crawl space where you're down on your belly, of course, the labor cost is going to go up.
Yeah, I don't even want to set a price on on what I would have to charge to do that. Maureen, what about people that have new homes as opposed to old homes? Does it really matter?
No, it doesn't matter whatsoever. When we first got into the radon business, of course, the first house we tested was our own. And we were not happy with the levels, so we mitigated our house. We lived in the country. Our neighbor to the north of us had two ponds, and his level was quite high, and he also had some pits and stuff. And the neighbor right across the road, he had a house as old as ours. Ours was about 130 years old, and his was also a stone foundation, but had a dirt basement, not really a basement, mm-hmm. but a dirt area.
Yeah,
and everybody thought that, of course, he was going to have it the highest levels, but that's not the case. He did not have as many pebbles or rocks or stones with uranium content in his slab area than we did or my neighbor. So it really is a matter of what's underneath your slab and what the pathways that are available, what your levels are going to be.
Well, this is very interesting. Maureen, can you stick around until after the break?
Oh, absolutely. Thank you.
You've been listening to Reality Realty on Northumberland 89.7 FM, truly local radio. Join Maureen, Dave, and myself after this short break. We'll continue to talk with Maureen about radon awareness and how to know which homes may have it.
Hello, music fans in Cobourg, Port Hope, and all of Northumberland. This is Little Kenny Fever, and I'm the host of The Roots of Rock, Friday nights at 8 o'clock on 89.7. And I'm inviting you to tune in for some good old rock, some good old rock and roll. You know, we'll step back in time to look at the roots of rock, the blues, the rhythm and blues, country, boogie, rockabilly, and head right up to the present, wherever we can find a good tune. So, join me here Friday nights at 8 for The Roots of Rock on Northumberland 89.7, truly local radio.
For over 35 years, Northumberland Security Incorporated has been providing everything necessary for physical and electronic security. From locks, alarms, safes, access control to surveillance systems, and handicap door operators. We are virtually a one-stop personal and property security center, operating from Pickering to Peterborough to Picton and everywhere in between. Visit us at 22 King Street West in Cobourg, online at northumberlandsecurity.com, or call 905-372-8951, the professional security team.
Welcome back to Reality Realty at Dave Smith, Dale Bryant, and our guest Maureen Wood, a certified radon measurement technician and mitigation specialist with Mr. Radon. Maureen, a common comment is what homes, what streets, what areas of the province or town have radon and which don't. But in reality, the correct answer to that question is it's not about whether you do or don't, but how much.
Oh, absolutely. Every home has radon. You cannot get away from it. It can even be in your building material. So whether you have a new home or an old home, there are certain areas that we now know because of surveys that do have an elevated area. That can be things like the Guelph area. Ottawa is very high. We have lots of business in Ottawa. London, Windsor, places like that. But that doesn't mean that you don't have high radon levels in your home or your neighbor's home.
Well, I think it might have actually been in a presentation that you did, so thank you very much. I learned a little bit. But you can have houses on the same street.
Oh, absolutely.
And you can have...
Absolutely.
Because in some cases, it's related to the glaciers, and the glaciers picking up the detritus. It's a big word. Dale, detritus. You can write that one down.
Detritus.
I have to look that one up.
That literally, they literally went along and scraped along the surface. And they may have deposited through melting or through water flow, whatever.
Exactly.
And so what may have been over there is now over here.
Yes.
The combination may be a soup of different products brought from hundreds of miles in some
Absolutely.
Cases.
Absolutely. So many people say, you know, why should I bother testing in this area? It's considered a low area. No. You have to test.
Because it's not about how close you are to the shield or how much granite there is in the area, that sort of thing. There's a lot of factors. So there's no way of knowing for sure. And the statistics
You're
have
correct.
Proven that out.
Yes, absolutely.
So, Maureen, in Canada, what's being done to help us with awareness of radon?
Well, in the last couple of years, an incredible amount has been done with the Real Estate Association. You know, we used to give courses a long time ago about radon, and the numbers dwindled and dwindled and dwindled. Mm. But now you know that CREA has come up with their own publication about radon. So that is a huge thing for the radon industry. The other thing is there is a Bill 11 before actually in council in the Ontario legislature, and Bill 11 says that every business, public or private, should have to test for radon levels and fix them by a certain date and fix them if they're high. That has passed through several different government elections.
Processes,
yeah. Yeah, but it got second reading within a very short time of the last election, and it is now in council to try and get it passed. So the Ministry of Labour is working on that and a few other ministries. But we are really hoping that that will pass in the springtime. And that is huge for the radon industry. So not only will your businesses be tested for radon, can you imagine because they have to, imagine the awareness of the people going to those places of work. They're saying, I have to test in my business. What about my children at home or my nanny or, you know?
Sure, you know. That would just be a natural progression.
Oh, huge, absolutely.
And just to clarify, two things. CREA, you referred to, which is the Canadian Real Estate Association.
Correct.
So just so that the listeners know that, so they could visit their website, which is I'm going to say CREA.ca.
I believe so.
Okay. If you Google CREA, that's what you would do, or do the long form if you like. In saying all of that, just from my aspect of it and for Dale as well, radon testing is not mandatory in the sale of a home in Canada to this point. And if I don't know this for sure, but I don't think it's mandatory in the U.S. either at this point.
It's not in some states, but in some states, because it's required when you sell a house to declare your radon level, of course there's testing.
So there's no way of doing that.
Yes.
And also, I think Health Canada's stance is, and possibly the other bodies around the world, it isn't just about testing once. It's ongoing testing is ultimately where we're what they're looking for here is ongoing testing.
Yes. If you have a long-term test and it comes back at a certain level and you're happy with that level, they recommend every 2 years you do a retest. And really, your radon level should stay fairly constant, except a little bit higher in the wintertime. But how a radon level would change in your house is if you did something to your foundation, if you added something to your foundation
right.
and opened up the space.
Right.
Likewise, if you put a swimming pool in, it would change the environment. If there's a lot of construction next door
mm-hmm.
or on the street, that can also change your radon level.
So you're looking at dramatic, really, for
yes,
the most part,
dramatic
renovation.
It's
certainly
Absolutely.
Not something you wouldn't be aware of for the most part.
Correct.
If you're living in the home, you'd probably
yeah.
be aware of those
mm-hmm.
of those changes. So the bottom line here is, as is with so many aspects of the real estate transaction, and for that matter, life itself, ignorance is not bliss.
Ignorance is not bliss.
And knowledge is power.
Knowledge is power.
So people, it would be smart for everyone, for whether they're selling a home or not,
yes.
To maybe, you know, spend a little bit of time and learn a little bit about radon and the effects. And again, want to reiterate, it isn't about more radon. It's about the action levels have been reduced in Canada. And then there's going to be a big push on by Health Canada to make that awareness out
That's
there,
correct. So. If you're a new homeowner, make sure you're aware of what Tarion covers. Because
that's, yes.
that's a huge thing. It will cover your cost of mitigation. And go to CARST, CARST.ca. That's the Canadian Association of Radon Scientists and Technologists. They're full of information. And CNRPP, they're the regulatory body in Canada for information, and Health Canada, of course.
And I know, having a new home myself in the last
mm-hmm.
year, there have been certain criteria that have had to been built into new homes.
The building codes. Are yes,
yep.
yeah. The there's been a lot of changes in the federal building code in relation to having radon-ready homes, and unfortunately, not all provinces or municipalities have actually accepted those building codes yet. So we're still working on that as well. But also, there's we're working on the building standards committees for the new building code in relationship to new homes for measurement, for mitigation, and also for existing homes, what the new requirement should be in regards to handling radon.
Because building codes, they trickle on down. And
yes.
For the most part, on-site governance is done by municipalities.
Yes.
What is true in Vancouver may not be true in Vancouver.
Correct.
And also to go back to the home inspection aspect of it, bear in mind if you're getting a home inspection, a home inspector is not there to cite code. That is not the
correct.
Role.
Absolutely.
That's
yes, you're right.
Role.
Well, Maureen, this has been a great topic. And being a real estate broker and going in homes all the time, I see how much we're willing to upgrade our finishes,
mm-hmm.
our kitchen cabinets, our flooring, our countertops, things like that.
Mm-hmm.
It's just surprising how little we pay attention to the health and safety
Absolutely.
Of our home.
And the environment, yes.
Yeah, and so it was great to speak to that issue today. Maureen, where can our listeners get a hold of you? What's the best way that they can contact you if they're looking for your services or more information?
Well, we're at www.mr, that's MR-radon, RADON.ca. And you can email me at info@mrradon.ca.
Great. Well, thank you very much, Maureen, for joining us today. And
it's a lot of the resources, a lot of the questions that we've asked today and the guidelines we used today
mm-hmm.
Was actually off of the Health Canada website.
Yes.
Mm-hmm.
Frequently asked questions. So if our listeners want, to dig into this, so there are some questions that they want sort of fleshed out a little bit more. Our time frame doesn't allow us to go into that kind of depth. The Health Canada website is a great resource, and
Absolutely.
It's an endless supply. And you want to make sure if you are in a real estate transaction, you're looking at radon testing, that you know the different reporting what's the right word I'm looking for here? In Canada, we use Becquerels. In the U.S., they use a different. So you want to make sure you're using a Canadian site, I guess.
Yes.
That's the message.
Oh, absolutely. Your information should come from Canada because we have different recommendations in Canada.
Right, right. Well, thank you again so much for coming here today. And I hope that it, in itself, it raised some awareness in the Northumberland County area for radon and radon testing. And you've been a great guest, and you've come chock full of some great information. So, Mr. Dale Bryant, we have another show in the books. We hope we're providing our listeners with an interesting topic. Radon is certainly one that needs awareness. And thank you, the listener, for spending part of your morning with us. And we look forward to bringing you more real estate talk next week with our guest, Drew Macklin from LinMac, the commercial owner, developer, and manager of over 150,000 square feet of retail space right here in Northumberland County. Once again, thanks to Maureen Wood, a certified radon measurement technician and mitigation specialist with Mr. Radon. If you have any questions, comments, or have topic suggestions pertaining to real estate, please feel free to contact Dave by emailing dave@realityrealty.ca or contact Dale by emailing dale@dalebryant.ca or call into the radio station at 905-372-2391 or visit us on social media, facebook.com/Northumberland897 or Twitter @trulylocal897. That's where you can get the information you're looking for.
Don't forget to join me, Dale Bryant, real estate broker with Royal LePage, ProAlliance Realty Brokerage, and Dave Smith, certified home inspector with Pillar to Post Home Inspectors, next Thursday from 11 a.m. until 12 noon for Reality Realty on Northumberland 89.7 FM, Truly Local Radio. Until next week.